Glory to God. Are you with me?
Acts of Apostles chapter 2 quickly. Acts of Apostles chapter 2 from verse 16. I'll start from verse 14. And Peter, standing up with 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, say, ye men of Judea and all who that dwell in Jerusalem, say, let it be known to you and hearken to my words, say, these are not drunken as yet supposed, said in his but the third hour of the day, say, but this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. Say, it shall come to pass in the last days, said the Lord, say, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. We'll get to this later in the evening. Hallelujah. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my maid servant and on my hand servant, I'll pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So let's take it from here. Hallelujah. So yesterday we said, when you get to verse 14, Bible says Peter stood up and began to explain their experience. Hallelujah. What was their experience from verses 1 into verse 5? Yeah, from verse 1 into verse 4. That was their experience. Now, we said Peter found the explanation of their experience from the scriptures. Glory to God. From the scriptures. And there were some things that I pointed out to us yesterday night that you need to look at critically. I said, when Peter was explaining his experience, he did not talk about breeze, or he didn't say anything concerning fire from heaven. No. So basically see that the word, the use of the word fire from heaven, the use of the word rushing mighty winds were figuratively used. Hallelujah. By who? By Luke. Glory to God. So he found the explanation to their experience from the prophet Joel. Hallelujah. So let's get to Joel and see. Joel. From Joel. Joel 2:28. We were here yesterday, right? Joel 2:28. Hallelujah. Oh. Let's continue. Hallelujah. Joel 2:28. Now let's see Joel. Look at where Peter reads from. Hallelujah. It says, and it shall come to pass afterwards. So Joel uses the word afterwards. That I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Hallelujah. Now Joel used the word afterwards. And we looked at that word yesterday. That the word afterwards is a word used for the fullness of time. It's used for a full circle in the future. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And what does it call that afterwards? If you read in context, it calls it the day of the Lord in verse 1. It said, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound, it says, and sound an alarm in the holy mount. It says, let the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Hallelujah. So he calls the afterwards the day of the Lord. Hallelujah. Which, if you look at it in verse 13, it says, in that day you will rend your heart and not your garment. And that word, you will rend your heart, which says the word used for soberness, is the word that is used for salvation, deliverance. Hallelujah. So it's used for salvation, deliverance. So the afterwards is the day of the Lord. Is that Hebrew word akar? Akar, C-H-E-R, akar, is from the verb akarit. Akarit, A-C-H-A-R-I-Y-T-H, akarit, which is the word used for last day. We said that yesterday, last day. So the word akar or akarit means last day, right? The day of the Lord. Lord of God. Something you have to see is the word, is the fact that that word is Moses' word. It's a word for Moses. Lord of God. Now, I want to take what I said yesterday night a bit further. Yesterday night I told you that Jesus and the epistle, or the writers of the epistle, will read from where? Genesis to Malachi, right? That's what they had as Bible.
Glory to God.
What they had as Bible is Genesis to Malachi. Now I want to extend it. Aside Jesus and the epistles, reading from what we call the Old Testament book, Genesis to Malachi, every other prophet of that same Old Testament book reads from Moses. Nobody told us that Moses is a model. Right? Right? So the moment we begin to say, let's forget Moses, let's move on, let's leave Moses. He said, yeah, friend, let's leave salvation. Hallelujah. We'll see all that this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. They will also prophesy from Moses. They will teach from Moses. Every other prophet, because a prophet is a teacher. Oh, I'm getting to the end of my teaching from the beginning. You will see that later in the evening. Hallelujah. A prophet is a teacher. Those are some of the things we begin to see later on in the evening. Amen. Amen. For example, let's look at Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 8. If you're there, I'll read. Look at verse 8. It says, so they read strictly in the book of the law distinctly and gave the things and caused them to understand the reason. Where did they read from? They read the book of the law. What is the book of the law? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Moses' book. Did you see that? So what would Ezra believe? What would Ezra be reading from? Ezra was reading from Moses' five books. So when you say to give a sense, it's the word to give intelligence. Hallelujah. Are you following me? It's the word to give intelligence. It's from that Hebrew word, sekel. Sekel, to give intelligence. Where you have the Greek word diamemios, which implies to explain a dialect. You see that? To explain a dialect. So what Ezra is doing here is that he's doing the same thing Jesus did to his disciples on their way to Emmaus, Luke 24. He was explaining the words of Moses. Did you see that? So that means in Nehemiah's day, their Bible is what? The law of Moses. Can you see that? Can you see that? Amen. What was Bible in Nehemiah's day? Moses. Moses' word. Are you following me? This is the same Old Testament book. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at Psalm 72 verse 19. Psalm 72 verse 19. Like that? Come on, let's go fast. Psalm 72 verse 19. It says, and blessed be his glorious name forever. He said, let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. When he says, let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Where is David reading from? David is reading from Numbers. Hallelujah. David reads from Numbers 14. Numbers 14, 21. Let's see that. Numbers 14, 21. You're going to be fast. Numbers 14, 21. He says, as soon as I leave, say, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. So, David is reading where? Numbers. Hallelujah. Are you following me? David is reading the Numbers. So, I need you to see that. They always read from someone. And this will become clearer later in the evening. Hallelujah. Remember I said I'm teaching you two different teachings in this convention. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One in the evening and the other one in the morning, right? So you understand where I'm going. So you will get to see all together. We'll bring all together tomorrow. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Look at Deuteronomy 17, verse 18. Let's see what Moses says. Deuteronomy 17, verse 18. Are you there? You see, it's given the who a king should be. Remember that he said, he's talking about the king, he said, and it shall be, when he sitteth upon his throne, the king, the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write them a copy of the law in a book, out of which is before the priest and the Levite, and it shall be with him and he shall read therein all the days of his life, and he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all his words of the law and give status to them. Amen. And to them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, a king is one who reads out the law. Hallelujah. That is, when you use the word to read out the law, it means to explain it. Hallelujah. So he reads the law and then he reads it out to the people. So that means a king is a teacher. A teacher of who? A teacher of Moses' words. Hallelujah. A king is a teacher. And they are there to teach Moses' words, Moses' laws. Hallelujah. So that means Moses' laws are the word of God. Moses' law are the word of God. Hallelujah. So no, Moses' law is death. No, you have to read well. Hallelujah. Paul will put it this way, Romans 8:1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus. He said, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. They were the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Listen to that. So where will you find the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus? From Moses. That set me free from the law of sin and death. That means there is a law of the Spirit, and then there is a law of sin and death. We'll see that as we go on. Hallelujah. But they are both written by who? Moses. So Moses' law is called the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when you look at the Psalm, when you look at the Psalm by David, the Psalms by David will be the words of Moses in a reading. This is that in a psalm, in a song. The same way, because the Psalm of David will be, David will read Moses, right? So he will now put it in a song. Hallelujah. That is the word psalm. When you are there today, we now carry psalm. And I'll put it on our pillowcase. No. So we will sleep on top of psalm. No. Psalm is actually... The same way to proverb. A proverb is Moses' words in a parable. That, so a proverb is told when Moses is read by Solomon. Is that? So you say the book of Proverbs are proverbs of Moses' teaching, of Moses' words. Are you following me? They were cast alongside when Moses was being explained by Solomon. Hallelujah. So that means, or that says, we said the word last day will be Moses' word. Was that what we said? Let's look at Genesis 49:1. We were here yesterday. It will be Moses' word. Genesis 49. Look at verse 1. It says, and Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together, and I may tell you the things which shall befall you in the last days. And when he talks about last days, he is not referring to rapture, as people would say. No. Hallelujah. It's not that. It's not rapture. He's talking about in the fulfillment of things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He was referring to specifics. Amen. In the last days, that is, in the fulfillment. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I hope you're following me. So he called his students in verse 19. He said to God, verse 19, he said, God, a truth shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. So that word last day means at last. So when he said last day, it means it has come to pass. Do you see that? Glory to God. It shall come to pass. That's one thing. Last day is not, you know, we are in the end times. I don't know what you mean by that. Hallelujah. We are in the last day. We are in the fulfillment day. Hallelujah. Where is it? Hallelujah. We'll get to see all that shortly. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We are actually in the last day. But what you call last day may not be the same word I mean by last day. Are you following me? Glory to God. You can call last day waiting for sex life. Hallelujah. But I call last day last day. Glory to God. You can call last days waiting for rapture. But that is not Bible meaning of last days. Are you following me? I hope you are following me. So when Moses says last days, when he uses the word last days in Genesis 49, he expects, you have seen the concept of days before now. He has written concerning days before now. Hallelujah. If you get to Genesis 1 into 2. Genesis 1 into 2. Let's go to Genesis 1 into Genesis 2. He mentions days, first day, then the first day, the second day, the third day, the fifth day, the sixth day, right? Then we are in Genesis chapter 2 verse 1, it says, first the heavens and the earth were finished, and the host of them. First of all, okay, before we get there. Amen. Amen. So, he said, first the heavens and the earth were finished, and the host of them. And on the seventh day, so the seventh day is Moses' use of what? Last day. You see that? The seventh day. What happened on the seventh day? God ended his work which he had made and rested on the seventh day from all the work which he had made. You see that? Verse 3, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified because in it he had rested from all the work which he had God has created and had made. So the seventh day signifies rest. Hallelujah. That is the last day. We're going to die. So Moses, when Jacob says, it has come to pass in the last day, at last, right? God rested, right? At last, that is the last day, right? Are you following me? That's the last day. So when he says last day, in Genesis 49, Moses employed that use of last day, except you read from Genesis 1. That's the reason, because you see what the concept of last day is. Hallelujah. Go to God. So, he employs that word. Or, he will now illustrate that last day. If we get to Exodus and Numbers, he will illustrate that last day with the Shabbat day. We call Sabbath day. But the pastor is Shabbat. Shabbat day. Hallelujah. Moses calls it the day to signify God's rest. So in that day, he tells them they shall do no work. Right? They should honor the day. We're going to see why Moses told them to honor the day. Because the concept of, listen, the concept of Sabbath day was not Moses calling. No. It was a culture they speak from Egypt. Hallelujah. The same way you had Passover. Passover is not Jewish. Like it's not Jewish. Passover was somewhere. Was from Egypt. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So Shabbat or Sabbath day means to cease work. It's like to cease work. So Moses employed that day. Hallelujah. And says, the Sabbath day will be the seventh day. Are you following me? The last day. And he said, in that day you shall do no work. Let's rush quickly to Exodus 20. Let's see that. Hallelujah. So when he says you shall do not what he means, he tells them they should sanctify it. Keep it holy. Glory to God. Exodus 20. Okay, let's get Exodus 20. This is the concept of Sabbath day. Exodus 20. Hope you follow me. Hallelujah. From verse 8. He says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Did you see that? To do what? Keep it holy. It says, 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. You see that? Who labor? You labor and do all your work. Say, but on the Sabbath, the seventh day, that is the last day, right? Right? The seventh day is the Shabbat of the Lord, thy God. In it you shall do no work. This is why you shall not do any work. Thou, thy son, thy daughter, thy maidservant, thy maidservant, nor the captain or stranger that is in thy gates. Therefore, in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, and all that is in them. All that is in them is. And rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Shabbat day and hallowed it. That is to say, he sanctified it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, some people now say, okay, Shabbat day or Sabbath day is Saturday. Some people know it's Sunday. Some people know it's Friday. Some people know it's Tuesday. Moses picked out a day to explain something in Genesis 1. Remember I told you that Genesis 1 is, Moses used a lot of imagery, right? mostly, I mean, Genesis 1, that teaching is how psychical feminism where we go. Hallelujah. We dive into a lot of teaching as regards Genesis 1. Hallelujah. Very important. Don't miss it. Hallelujah. A lot. And then you listen to it together with redeeming the time. Because you said something about the Garden of Eden, right? So those were images. 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 Glory to God. As we see some shock. Glory to God. Glory to God. So because when he says, let's make man, or when he starts with the word heaven and earth, he's not telling you to heaven and earth, we'll get to that. Let me not rush. Hallelujah. But you hear the word image. Image. Let's make man in our image. And you think he's talking about, you know, somebody is not born again thinking, I am a beautiful image, I am a wonderful image. I resemble God. And you're not born again. How do you resemble God? How, what do you think is the image of God? You know, Adam was made in the image of God. No. Adam was supposed to be in the image of God. Did you see that? In the word of God? Are you following me? Aha. But the word image is the word, is a simple word. Right? Right? So listen to that teaching. The word image is a temple word. And in the temple, come on, when Moses tells them image, what comes to their mind is Egypt, the temple. Right? Now what do they have at the temple? Representation of God. So Moses says, let's make man in our image. Did you see that? The Lord of God, their mind goes back to the temple. And in the temple, what do you have? The temple is where they believe is the union of deity and man. Just Jonathan, where man and deity meet. So when Moses has to make man in our image, it means that is the union of God and man. Talking about a union. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Hope you are following me. So these are some of the things we'll get to see shortly. Hallelujah. So let's take note of some things. See, Moses said God rested on the Sabbath day. And he used the Sabbath day as a symbol, not as a particular day. Not as a what? Particular day, as a symbol. Hallelujah. I wrote something there by that the Sabbath day worship was a day set aside in Egypt where they worshiped their God. So Moses borrowed it from their practice and said, okay, we have the same day, let's keep it holy and see some works. Do you see that? Hallelujah. So the Sabbath day was used as a symbol by Moses. And when he tells them, thou shalt do no work, it's something we have to see. Why would Moses say you shall do no work? Did you see that? Hallelujah. So let's go ahead. This is Jesus' commentary concerning the Sabbath day. Right? Jesus' commentary. In Matthew 12, let's see something in Matthew 12. Are you in Matthew 12? From verse 1. It says, At this time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck the ear of corn and to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, Behold, thy disciples do what is not lawful to be done on the Sabbath day. Did you see that? That was not lawful, because they read Sabbath day as a day not to work. But that was not what Moses meant. Did you see that? Moses gave them that as a symbol. Did you get it? Now look at what Jesus said. Jesus said to them, have you not read that David, what David did, if we then said 1 Samuel 21. Hallelujah. When he was hungry, and they that were with him, how he entered the house of God, and did eat the shewbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him. But only for the priest. Did you see that? Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath day the priest in the temple profaned the Sabbath and are blameless? Did you see that? So bring that out again to them. Amen. Glory to God. So showing them what happened on the Sabbath day and make them see that they observe the as a specific day, but Moses wrote it to show them a day. And in that day, doing no work is actually keeping it sacred. You see that? When Moses showed them a day, what Jesus is showing them is that Moses gave them a day, right? And in that day, he told them to do no work. Actually, what Moses is saying is that you keep it sacred. And keeping it sacred means you will do work. We're going to see something. It implies the work. How? He now showed you David. David entered the where it was not lawful for him to enter, only meant for the place. He went down and he ate what was not lawful for him to eat. Also showed them how that the priests profaned the Sabbath day and nothing happened to them. Showing them that that was only asking them to do was a symbol. I hope you are following me. Was a symbol of the reason. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I hope you're following me. Look at verses 9. And when he was departed there, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, "Did you not put to heal on the Sabbath day?" These guys are stubborn. He just explained something to them. And they said, "Did you not put to heal on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him?" And he said to them, "What shall there be amongst you that shall have one sheep and it falls into the pit on the Sabbath day? Will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much more this man, better than a sheep? Wherefore, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath day." Did you see that? So, well, what is Moses, what is Jesus saying? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What is Jesus saying? He's telling them that doing no work on the Sabbath day is actually doing work. Hallelujah. But this time doing good work. Amen. Amen. So he says healing. Showing them that on the Sabbath day, man will be healed. In God's Sabbath, man will be healed. Now this time not physical healing, because healing represents the restoration. Man will be restored. I believe in God's Sabbath. So Moses is explaining Sabbath, God's Sabbath to them, and it gives them what? Like a symbol, and tells them, this is a specific day. It will represent God's Sabbath. And in it you shall not do any work. Did you see that? So, and Jesus now brings that in and says, in God's Sabbath, man will be healed. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Sabbath is not actually a specific day. God's Sabbath is not actually, it's not a Monday to a Sunday. No. Hallelujah. Look at John 7. The same thing, but let's look at how John will put it. John 7:22. Are you there? Okay, yeah. John 7:22. Moses therefore gave you circumcision. Look at what it says. Okay, Moses therefore gave you circumcision, not because it is Moses, but of the Father. You see that? Hallelujah, of the Father. And yea, on the Sabbath day, circumcise a man. Listen, if a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me because I have made a man very weak whole on the Sabbath day? Did you see that? Did you see that? So Moses showed them, in Moses' law, you can circumcise on the Sabbath day, right? Right? To show that man will receive circumcision on God's Sabbath. That's what Jesus is saying. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Hallelujah. That said, since we have seen that the Sabbath day is a symbol used by Moses, right? Right? Used by Moses, that is the seventh day, or we call it the last day. Therefore, I must go back and see what Moses what Moses teaches concerning the seventh day, or the Sabbath day, or the last day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to go back. Glory to God. Glory to God. Because the seventh day is the day for the reign of the Messiah. Oh, look at that order. Let's get back to see how Moses teaches it. Look at Genesis 2, from verse 1 to 3 again. Genesis 2, 1 to 3. Hallelujah. It says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and the host of them. Now when it says the heavens and the earth, remember, when you read from chapter 1, the heavens and earth will imply what God does, right? Right? Aha. So, what God does, heaven and earth mean what God does. And it says they were finished. Now that word finished means they were completed. They were done. Hallelujah. And heaven and earth means God is, come on, God is. We actually looked at that word, heaven and earth. That actually means heavens in the earth, right? God says that the heaven in the earth. So when it says heaven in the earth, it means heaven, God, and man. The heaven we use for God. Hallelujah. To be used for God. God and man. Glory to God. He said they were completed. That is, they were done. Amen. Amen. God and man. That will be the heavens and the earth. God's union with man. Look at verse 2. He said, on the seventh day, he ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work which he had created. Now, the seventh day has nothing to do with a particular day. I don't know what you said. Where were you when God was creating people? You came when all the mud was finished. Yeah, it's just Akani. I follow you. Akani. Don't we were created on the fourth day, we were created on the last day. I don't know what that ever means. So we are God. Amen. So the seventh day is not a specific day, like Monday or Sunday. No, it's not. What is the reason for that? When you mentioned the day, which is the fourth, it's not something we're looking at this year, but it forms theology. Hallelujah. You read theology from there, but we'll look at that some other time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, the seventh day has to do with a particular day. It is actually the completion of things. The fulfillment of things, when the heavens and the earth come to pass. You see that? When the heavens and the earth come to pass is the seventh day. Are you following me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at Genesis 1:1. It says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. It said the earth was without form and void, and the earth was upon the surface of the sea, and the Spirit of God moved upon the surface of the water. Right? And God said, let there be light. Are you following that? So that would be, we said that would be God's plan, right? Heaven in the earth. And how would that happen in Genesis 1:11? The sea. It will happen through the sea. You know God, when he gets to Genesis 1:26, he said the same thing. Let's make man in our image. The same word, heaven and earth. Are you following me? It's the same thing. Heaven and earth. So in chapter 2:1 it says the heaven on the seventh day is the when the heavens and the earth were done. That is to say it's completed. So the seventh day is what? When the heavens is in the earth. That is God's seventh day. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Hope you are following that. Okay. Go to God. So he uses the word rest. That word rest there, though the word Sabbath in the Hebrew, but it also deals with the resting place. Hallelujah. 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 It also deals with the resting place. It has another word called Menoka in the Greek. In the Hebrew. Menoka. Which is used for a resting place. So, that word rest doesn't speak of a cessation of work. No, but it's used for where one goes and continues his task. Where one stays and continues his task. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at Genesis 49 verse 15. Genesis 49 verse 15. Are you listening? He says, and he saw that rest was good, and the land that it was pleasant, and he bowed his shoulder to bear, and became a servant unto what? Children. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's speaking about Issachar. Let me start with verse 12. He says, Issachar is a strong ark, couching down between two borders. He says, and he saw the rest was good, and the land that it was pleasant, and bowed his soul, and he bowed his shoulder to death, and became a servant unto tribute. Are you following me? You find it, that's the word in the local. You find it again in Numbers 10:33. Numbers 10:33, let's see how many of you here. Quickly. Numbers 10:33. Let's see. It says, and they departed from the mount of the Lord, 3 days journey. And the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them in a 3 days journey to search out the resting place for them. Did you see that? The resting place for them. And where will be that resting place? That will be Canaan, right? Come on. Now, when they get to Canaan, does it mean they will not do any work again? No. Glory to God. So the resting place means where they will stay and continue their task. Did you see that? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So he's showing you that in the rest, there is a walk. In the rest, there is a walk. In Deuteronomy 12, verses 8 to 14. Deuteronomy 12, from verse 8. Let's see it again. I want you to get there, everybody. So verse 8, it says, ye shall not do after all the things that we do. Okay, let's talk about verse 9. It says, for ye are not as yet come to the rest and to the inheritance which the Lord your God giveth you. But when ye go over Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God giveth you to inherit, and when he giveth you rest from all your enemies round about, so that ye dwell in safety, then they shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Peter shall ye bring all that I command you, your burnt offering, and all your sacrifices, your tithe, and your gift offering of your hand, and your choice vow, which ye vow to the Lord. You see, even when they get there, they will still walk. Are you following me? They will still have to do. Glory to God. And ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God, where? In his what? In his resting place, right? In their resting place. They will rejoice, meaning they will have activity. Hallelujah. Before the Lord your God, ye and your sons and your daughters and your men servants and your men servants and the Levites that is within your gate, but much as have no part nor inheritance with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. Glory to God. Glory to God. In Psalms 95 verse 11. Or let's look at Psalms 95 verse 11. Let's go to Psalms 132 quickly. 132 verse 8. Psalms 132 verse 8. Yes. Say, arise, O Lord, into thy rest, and thou art the ark of thy strength. Say, arise, O Lord, into thy resting place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Into thy resting place. Look at verse 14. It says, this is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I desire, for I have desired it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So it's called a resting place. So in Genesis 2, when we get back to Genesis 2, it will mean God entered into his resting place. Hallelujah. His heavenly heavens and the earth will be God entering into his resting place. So the resting place will be in God's heaven and earth. Did you see that? God's heaven and earth will be what? That's union. God's image. Right? Hallelujah. 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 So, God's union with man. And in that very same place, God now carries out his work through us. God now carries out his work through us. We'll see that shortly. So in Genesis 2, God ended his work. Genesis 2. When you see what he ended his work, cease from it. Hallelujah. And will be found where? In his heaven and the earth. Carrying out his task in the earth through his heaven and the earth. Glory to God. Glory to God. So when Moses now picked that day and gave it to them as a memorial, a particular day, keep it full. What is Moses telling them? When he casting them, so the day, when they keep that day, they see some of their work, is to remind them of God's Sabbath. This is that. To remind them of what God is doing in the earth. So you will not do any work. You will stay in God's work. You see that? Hallelujah. So that rest for them is not that they will not do anything. No. It will remind them. So they are keeping it holy. So how would you keep it holy? To do God's work in that day. So now you're not doing your work, you are doing God's work. Are you following me? Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Hope you're following me. Glory, hallelujah. So let's move further in this. So, John in John 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. Let's get to John 1. We see John 1, 1. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Even if you sleep, you'll wake up. If you don't, you'll wake up. John 1, 4 verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. Right? Right? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh, and tabernacled amongst us. The Word became flesh, and tabernacled amongst us. So, what does it mean? It means that Jesus is God became flesh. Jesus is God, God in man, right? Jesus is God's man, right? Come on, Jesus is that union of heaven and the earth. Are you following me? Are you following me? Would that be the key, Genesis 1, right? To bring forth order, right? Are you following me? Jesus will be that example of God and man united, heaven and the earth. Glory to God. Glory to God. Remember, I told us yesterday that in the Old Testament, Genesis 2, salvation was available, but salvation would be possible through the who? Messiah. Right? Salvation is available, but was not possible. We'll see that shortly. But it will be possible through the Messiah. So that is why he will become a man. Hallelujah. Are you following me? For salvation to be possible. Glory to God. Just follow me. So Jesus speaks about this same Menorah and calls that Menorah, the same Menorah in Genesis, right? He calls that Menorah his time. He calls it his day. He speaks about that seventh day and calls it his day. He calls it his time. He calls it his hour, my day. Hallelujah. This is that. So the message is that the seventh day is God's day. Remember, we read it from Joel. Joel said the day of the Lord. He calls it the day of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. 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 So let's move. So in speaking about his hour, let's get to John 2. In John chapter 2, we find Jesus in a wedding. He attended a wedding. Glory to God. And the mother came to him and said, they have no wine. Jesus doesn't read wine like they will read wine. Jesus will read wine for Moses. Remember I told you Jesus was not a he was not the author of his word. No. He used words from Moses and from the prophet. Right? So when he said they had no wine, he had to pick it from Moses. Hallelujah. No, they were reading, we don't have wine. We don't have red wine. As we will call it red wine. We don't have red wine. Jesus said, Jesus didn't doubt. Hallelujah. Jesus didn't complain. Hallelujah. Because Jesus will read wine differently. What the woman has said in theology, she is correct. Man is without the Spirit of God. That's what it means. Because wine will be used for the Spirit. So when they say they have no wine, you see that? Eh? They have no wine, it will be used for what? The Spirit. So Jesus, who's going to call? Man was without the Spirit. There you go. Now, he then told you, brother, what am I to do with you? Go to God. So what am I to do with you? My hour is not yet come. Now that is because why would he say my hour? It's not saying my hour for miracle. No, you know a lot of people say he I heard this very similar time that Jesus said his time for miracle was not yet come. His time for miracle was not yet come. So but he still did the miracle, right? That was what he meant. There's no amount of things anybody would do that would make him do miracle. You know, some people, the Roman Catholic now use that to say that is the place, that is the office of the mother. that is why when you sin and Jesus did not forgive you, you don't meet Mary. No, emphatically no. That was not what Jesus said. When he said, woman, what have I to do with you? My hour has not yet come. It's not hour for miracles. No. He talks about the hour when man will receive the new wine. At that time is not yet come. See that? So that means in Jesus' hour, man would have the new wine. But just as I talked to you last year, I told us that he will not go ahead to do the miracle, right? Because the miracle will point to a future event, right? So that miracle of turning water to wine will now point to a future event because water will signify man, right? If turning it to wine, it will be man who receives the new wine. Hope you are following me. Man who receives the new wine when in his hour, which are the same hour that Joel will call the day of the Lord. Read that? Glory to God. In his hour. That's what Moses would signify with the seventh day. The day of the Lord. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Okay. Let's go ahead. Let's move a bit further. Glory to God. In John 14. In John 14. Wow, we have a long way to go. John 14. So who shall I enter? He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. He says, let your heart be not troubled. Believe in God, believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you I go prepare a place for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now some people think when he means I go and prepare a place, so he's talking about after. No. I will come again and receive this message. That is after. That's not what he was talking about. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Just if you read down, you understand what he's teaching. Say, if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive it to myself, that where I am, there you'll be also. Glory to God. And when you get to verse 15, he now says, now, much that word in my Father's house are many mansions. That word mansion is the word moneh. Moneh. Mansion is the word moneh. It's a shade of the word menoka, where one stays to continue his task. Hallelujah. That's a shade. No, it is the Greek word for the Hebrew word menoka. Hallelujah. So in verse 16, he says, he calls it what? He looked at verse 16, he said, I'll pray the Father, you'll give another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Say, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because he seeth not, neither knoweth him, for you know him, he dwells with you, and shall be in you. That's it. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. look what Jesus has said. I will come to you. Where will he come to you? They'll go to see shortly. Hallelujah. They will go to look at verse 20. 29 says, in that day, will that be, that day will be his day, will be his hour, right? Right? That will be Joel the Lord's day. That will be Moses' seventh day. Are you following me? In that day, you will know that I am, right? In my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Will that be the day he will, that day will be the day of that union, where the Spirit will indwell man. Are you following me? Glory to God. That will be the new birth. When he said, I will come again and receive it to myself in this tree, he was talking about in the resurrection. Hallelujah. In the resurrection. I will receive you again to myself. But where I am, there you will be also. When a man believes. Hallelujah. Look at verse 23. He now brings up that same word he calls Moneh. We call Moneh for mansion. Look at verse 23. He said, if a man loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. I will come and make our Moneh, our abode, our mansion where? With him. This is the mansion. The mansion will be where? In the believer. This is that. The mansion will be the Spirit of God in your believer. And the Spirit of God is the vision of God and of the union of the Father and the Son in the believer. That is the Moneh. And what is the Moneh? A place where one stays to carry continuous work. That means God carried out his task in the earth through his children. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Let's move ahead. Hope you're following me now. So he calls the union the resting place. He calls the union the mansion. That means the union is that what? Seventh day. That union. Heaven and the earth. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So that means through this mansion, God carried out his task in the earth. God reaches the whole earth through his Son. So, listen. God will reach the earth. I told us God will reach man through men. Right? God will reach men through men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, it's through the believer that God reaches other men. And that is how we grow to refill the earth. So the whole earth becomes God's heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So let's look at something. So that means, this is why, now, it's through this union that God reaches us to the whole earth. And that will be done in the resurrection, right? So this is why in the resurrection, Jesus in Matthew 28 will now tell them, go therefore, and make disciples of every nation. You see that? Matthew 28, of every nation. He gives them the same task that Moses will also speak of in Genesis 1:26 into 28. Hallelujah. They have dominion. Who will you say to have dominion? Man who is in the image of God would have dominion. So the dominion will be the authority to raise disciples. Hallelujah. Are you following me? The dominion over the fish of the sea, the cattle of the earth. I've told you, when you hear fish of the sea, don't be thinking about titles and quotes. I'll be thinking about goats and sheep. No. When you baptize, you have dominion. And because you kill the snakes, you are posting it on Facebook, I've got some dominion. That don't work. Remember I told you, Genesis 1 is actually what? Genesis 1 is Moses is a lot of imagery. So Moses will use the imagery of animals as taught you that. Go and get some messages, recent messages. Hallelujah. Listen to recent messages. I taught you about what the use of animals. Hallelujah. So animals will be used to represent man's action. Hope you're following me. To represent man's action. So when it says the fish of the sea, it's talking about going into all the nations of the world. So Jesus will now pick it again in Luke. In Luke chapter 17. So you turn upon snakes and scorpions and over all the works of the enemy. You understand me? So it will be Satan's action through men. Hallelujah. So it's manifest. They read Genesis 49. Jacob described all his children with animals. He doesn't say the animals, no, but he described their action with animals. He called Judah a lion. He called Dan he called Dan a serpent. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I told him he called Benjamin the wolf. So you have to see that they are used to represent man's action. Glory to God. Hope you are with me. Hope you are following me. Amen. So when Moses says, have dominion over the fish of the sea, who is? Who will have the dominion? Man who is now in the image of God. Heaven and earth united, right? That would be God carrying out his task through the agency of man to reach men. Did you see that? Hallelujah. It's the same thing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at how Mark will call you to go preach the gospel, right? In all the nations, in all the world. Then he now gives you the signs shall follow them that believe. So, Mark will mention the signs following. Luke will call the gospel, in Luke 24, he calls it the gospel of God's remission of sins. God's remission, Luke 24, 49. Luke 24, 46. I mean, 46. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Acts 1:8, it says, shall receive power that the Holy Ghost is come upon, shall be witness unto the Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and also most part of the heads. John chapter 21, verse 23, he said, break from them and told them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. He said, whosoever sin ye remit shall be remitted. Whosoever sin ye remit shall be remitted. So that means, when a man believes, his sins are remitted. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. His sins are remitted, forgiven. So Peter, now teaching in John 2, in Acts 2. Let's come back to Acts 2. Peter teaching in Acts 2. Look at verses 36. Verses 38. Peter said to them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Therefore, the remission of sins, that you may receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now look at what, and ye may receive. Now, that is, remember I told you that what you have, what one will have a translation, that's called interpretation. Hallelujah. So we're going to look at that. Is it when you receive the remission of sin, then what does it now mean that after which, we're going to look at all that. Hallelujah. Let me just jump. We're going to look at all that. Shortly. Hallelujah. And ye may receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is to you and your children and to all other fathers, even as many as the Lord shall call. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's stay with this. And let's look at what it means. Hallelujah. When you say the gift of the Holy Ghost, you're referring to what they just saw. Hallelujah. So let's look at one or two other things. So Peter, in teaching them about the union, calls it the remission of sins, right? And what is received in the new birth? Hallelujah. What is received in the new birth? That's what he tells them. Because they ask him, men and brother, what shall we do? And then he says, what shall you do? You see. Right? Repent, be baptized, repent and be baptized, and in the name of the Lord Jesus, for the remission of sins. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what is received in the new birth? And he calls it aphesis amartia, which is remission of sins. So what does he call remission of sins? What does he call it? He calls it what? The indwelling. That's what Peter is calling it. Say, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he reads it as the indwelling of the Spirit. what is what we call heaven and the earth, right? That's what we're reading. Heaven and the earth. Man in God's image. Glory to God. Glory to God. But when we get to Genesis 1, listen, so that is, that union, in that union, we have the mission of sin. But when we get to Genesis chapter 1, when Moses was talking about that, this union, heaven and earth, right? Heaven and earth. Man in God's image, there was no mention of the word sin. There was no mention of the word sin. Sin was mentioned first in Cain. That we find in Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. We're looking at all this together. Yes! When you look at Moses' further explanation in Numbers, and I mean Exodus and Numbers, it shows that we would have in God the forgiveness of sin. You see that? We will have in God the forgiveness of sin. What in Genesis is this mentioned? That is, if we look at Genesis, I mean Numbers 14. Look at Numbers 14 quickly. Numbers 14 verse 20. It says, and the Lord said, I have pardoned according to my word. You see that? I have pardoned, as truly as I said, the Lord, the whole earth is going to be my glory. Say, I have pardoned. In Exodus 20 verse 5. It says, thou shalt, I mean, sorry. Okay, verse 5. It says, thou shalt not bow thyself to any of them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the father upon the third, upon the children to the third and fourth generation to them that hate me. Now when it says visiting the iniquity, that word visiting is the word pakad. Pakad in the Greek. And Moses, we use that word pakad for forgiveness. Hallelujah. A pardon. So God's visit is for forgiveness. Hallelujah. What we have in the New Testament. Hallelujah. A later interpreter by name Ezekiel, in Ezekiel 36, 24. Look at verse 24. It says, and I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you to out of all the countries, and bring you to your own land. And I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols, will I cleanse you. Hallelujah. It has a new spirit, a new heart will I give, and a new soul will I put within you. I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh, I'll give you the heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. You shall keep my judgment and do them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, the use of the word land here, in verse 24, will be figurative for the spirit. God's walk, God's presence. You see that? The use of the word land there will be used, will be figurative for the spirit. I will find him explain that. Hallelujah. Gather you to your land. He calls it the spirit in verse 26. Are you following me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. And what would we have in the land, which is in the spirit, would be verse 25. We would have the forgiveness of sins. Thou sprinkle clean water upon you and you shall be clean. Which in verse 26, in our father explained it as the spirit. This, that, so he used the same word. He explained the same thing with different words. He called the spirit land, called it water, right? And he called it a new heart. It's the same thing with spirit. Glory to God. So when he says, look at Ezekiel. When Ezekiel says, I will sprinkle you clean water. That is Exodus. Do you understand? That is Moses' language. That means Ezekiel is writing for Moses. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. If you now get to Psalm 32 verse 2, look at Psalm 32 verse 2 quickly. Psalm 32 verse 2. He said, blessed is the man whom the Lord has put not in iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no Jew, I mean there is no God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, who will be that man? That man will be the man in Christ. Therefore, the man in Christ is blessed. Right? He calls him blessed. Let's move ahead a bit. That's it. What is sin? What is sin? I'm just giving us an intro into something to look at in the course of the year. What is sin? That is the word in the Hebrew. Kata. Kasapa or katapa. Kata. C-H-A-T-T-A-H. From the root word kata. C-H-A-T-A. Which implies to meet. To meet an aim. To meet an aim. Is the Greek word hamartia. Hamartia, which implies to miss the mark, to fall short of glory. Hallelujah. To fall short of glory. To miss the mark, to fall short of glory. And the first time this word sin is used for a person is in Cain. Genesis chapter 4. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. It's in Cain. I told you this is going to look like this here, right? Here, Genesis 4. Are you in Genesis 4? Okay. From verse 1, it says, and Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bore his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of ground. I need you to pay the most attention here. Hallelujah. Was a tiller of ground. And in the process of that, it came to pass that Cain brought all the fruit of the ground and offered to the Lord. And Abel also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But also Cain and his offering, he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance failed. And the Lord said to Cain, why art thou wroth? And why has thy countenance failed? If thou dost well, it says, thou shalt be accepted. If thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and he shall rule over him. Hallelujah. Let's do a constructive study. First of all, they offered what? Sacrifices. Amen. Amen. As many of you that will remember what I told you last fall year. You last fall 2019 to go to that one, yeah? The last 2 years, yeah? It's 2 years left. During understanding the gospel 2:8, I told us something concerning Cain and Abel's offering. Just listen to me. I'm going to bring that up so that you see. Hallelujah. What they offered was actually symbolic. Hallelujah. Was symbolic. Moses again, I can tell you this reason what I've told you before. What I've told you before was that Abel's offering was accepted because why? He offered a sacrifice of faith, right? Now, let's take a question. Now, remember I told you that Moses is writing how? Imagery, right? So, the offering will be an imagery. Let's see. Hallelujah. So I have in my notes, it's actually symbolic. Abel's sacrifice was faith in God's sacrifice. Abel's sacrifice is actually faith in God's sacrifice. in them. Are you following me? Faith in God's sacrifice. So Moses used the word firstling. Firstling. That's the word Bekorah. Used for a first child. Right? Used for a first child. Where you have the word birthright from. Birthright. You remember the concept of birthright? Eh? I refer you to Patriarchal Feminism, Where is God? I discussed that thing. Hallelujah. Who did an extensive study there. So get back to it. So anywhere. So listen to that message. So it's actually to show birthright, Bekorah, firstborn. A word you find in Jacob and Esau. Firstborn. The Bible says Esau despised his birthright. And before you start thinking birthright is birthright is actually the right of the firstborn to stand in the stead of his father, in the office of his father. Hallelujah. So when Moses was now to explain that firstborn right, he will not do what? In Exodus down to Deuteronomy, that if a man has 12 sons, or if a man has 10 sons, he divides his properties into 11. To share it amongst the 10, then the remaining one, right? If I have 10 children, he divides his properties into 11. So he gives, everybody takes one. So the remaining one, he gives it to the firstborn. I follow you. Give to the first. So the right, that is what is called the firstborn right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's called the double portion. Glory to God. Is the word for office. Are you following me? Office. To take on an office. To take on an office. So when it says firstborn, it means to take on the stead of the father. Certainly. Hallelujah. That's what it means. Hallelujah. Bekorah. That's all right. So a word you find in Jacob and Esau, and I wrote in my notes clearly, listen to our message of patriarchal feminism, where is God? We did a little study on it. A little study. And it's used for acceptance of the promise acceptance of the promise or to give the head. That's what it is. Moses uses it to now talk about acceptance of the promise. Glory to God. Are you following me? Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. So what Abel offered was an imagery of his acceptance of the office of his father. Who is his father? Was Abel offered, brother? Who is Abel's father? Who? You don't know Abel's father again. Who is Abel's father? Adam. Who is Adam? Genesis 2:8. Adam was a priest. Are you following me? Adam was to be a priest. Glory to God. So that was acceptance to God's work. Are you following me? Hallelujah. So it's an offering of acceptance of the office of his father, who is a prophet of peace. Hallelujah. In the light of the promise. And Cain was a rejection. You see that? So Cain, so Moses now represented Cain's offering as a rejection. Hope you are following that. When the writer of when John, 1 John chapter 3, let's see how John will call because what he brought was the fruit of his hand. Let's see that fruit of his hand. let's go there. Amen. You know what we say? No, so what did we do? You know. First John chapter 3, verse 11. Are you there? What did I say? It says, for this message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, is that? Then not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, who slew his brother. Therefore, he slew his brother because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So, with the work of his hand, that was the work of his hand. The work of his hand was evil. Are you following that? That is that rejection. Hope you are following me. Hope you are following me. If you get to the writer of Hebrews, you call it by faith. Abel offered. Did you see that?
Glory to God. Hallelujah. So that means that word persists. Hallelujah.
I hope you are following what I'm teaching you. To believe. So Abraham, so Abel believed. So Moses will now write that belief by using what? Testing. Hope you are following that. Hope you are following that. Okay. Something else we have seen there. Now let's look at what God says to Abraham. I mean to Cain. He says God now showed him that sin away. Look at that Genesis 4:7. He says, if you do not do it, say sin lies at the door. And unto thee shall his desire. And unto thee shall be his desire. And thou shalt rule over him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God shows Cain. This is something we'll look at sometime. Hallelujah. Sometime in the year. Hallelujah. God's, I allow for it, God's law. This is just a demonstration of God's law. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God still reminds him again. If you do, you won't have an aspect. That is, if you believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So to make you see that Cain needs it. Hallelujah. Cain needs will be God's standard, which is heaven and earth. Hallelujah. And he calls it sin awaits in the ring. Sin awaits, and it's using the rejection of the gospel, which will say.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
What Cain needs is God's standard, and God's standard will be heaven and earth, which is God's image, God's presence, God's presence. Let's see that in verse 14. Look at what Cain now says in verse 14. He said, "Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face." Do you see that? From where? Thy face, God's presence, shall I heal. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass, anyone that findeth me shall slay me. Did you see that? Hallelujah. A fugitive. It is out of God's presence. So first, Cain explained it to be he's driven out of God's presence, God's sight. Hallelujah. God's presence, God's sight. This will be his Eden, God's Eden. Just like Adam and Eve in Genesis 6. Adam and Eve, what they ate was a sign of rejection. Are you following me? It was a sign of rejection of God's promise. And what happened? They were driven out of God's Eden. God's Eden will be, Eden will not be an image for God's presence. So that will become an example of what happens to a man who rejects the gospel. A man who rejects the gospel will be away from God's presence. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Will be where? Away from God's presence. I hope you are following me. Okay. Hallelujah. So, from what God said to Cain in verse 7, look at what, it makes us see something. It makes us see that sin is one man-made. It's not from God. God never created sin. Sin is man's creation. And it comes from man's desire, man's choice. It says, sin lies at the door. Did you see that? James will say the same thing in James 1. Hope you are following me now. I'm a tired of it. I have 5 minutes left. I will be interested by talking to you. James 1:13. It says, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. For everyone is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And when sin is finished, it brings forth death. Did you see that? Hallelujah. It says, sin comes from where? Man's desire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man and his desire. That's how sin comes, sin and death. And
He did not mention God at all. Right? Let the man say when he's tempted by God. Now let's look at something. Verse 14. Tempted when he's drawn away of his lust and enticed. Let's look at that word lust. That word lust is the word epitomia. Epitomia. It shows a longing. A lust. A longing. Always used for a negative. It's always used for negative things. For what is forbidden. So it shows choice. What you long for that is wrong. Therefore, James makes us see that man's desire, or James makes us see man's desire, in man's desire you will find sin. Therefore, sin is man-made. And it says in verse 16, do not err. Hallelujah. Do not err. See, if man-made, not God. Hallelujah. Paul, we explained the same thing in Romans 5, verse 12. I hope to find time to discuss Romans 5, 12 in the course of the year. I will teach on the concept of sin. Romans 5 verse 12. It says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So for until now, until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed where there is no law. Look at what it says. It says, sin entered by one man. When you use the word enter, esosomia, enter, esoshoma, E-I-S-E-R-C-H-O-M-I-A. It implies to come in. It shows that it was not there before. You see that? It shows that sin wasn't there before. Sin is foreign. It's a foreign element not created to be part of humanity. God is Christian. Hallelujah. It's foreign. This shows that it's man-made. Then it says by one man sin entered. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we use the word one man, which references Adam, right? Hallelujah. And Adam, and Moses will use Adam to represent who? Come on. Humanity. Right? Right? I said when you get to Genesis 1, don't just use Adam as a person alone. No. You will miss a whole lot of the concept of the world. Hallelujah. This will represent what humanity. Say by man. So what Moses is saying is by man sin entered into the world. Is that? Sin came in by man. Hallelujah. And death by sin. And death passed upon all men for all our sins. Listen to what he said. He's not saying man is born a sinner. He did not say that. Universalism. It's one of the teachers who has one of these places, universalism. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a teaching that is dealing with some people. So therefore, because sin reigns automatically on everybody because we are in the flesh. Automatically you are born a sinner. That means the moment Jesus died, or everybody is born, is now a sinner because of Adam's sin. And the moment Jesus died, and everybody is automatically a believer. I've seen that on someone's part, I say, this man is man. I did not just offend him. I make sure I block him. I'm blocked to 10th generation. And that was, how did I accept you there for me? Because I know, normally what I do is that I will try to accept you as my friend. Ah, I will scrutinize your wall, your post, for weeks and for months. And I say, how did I lose my reader? But I now went through his post for the past 6 years. The same notion, right there. Sorry, it was a mistake. If I told you that was that button block on Facebook is by the Holy Ghost. It's a legion of the Spirit, but you don't know. Just press it. Ah! Your life will be forever, you'll be forever great. You don't know. Just, I know how to press that button very well. So, we move ahead. Amen. So you're falling away. So you didn't know the truth. So you go tell your friends, yeah? Ah! Press it. And you hear it. I'm telling you that those who are watching us online would know. Universalism. Very stupid doctrine. Has no basis. Because what we got from Adam is not sin. What we got from Adam is the gift of God. Hallelujah. That's the glory of God. I wonder where people get that from. Hallelujah. So sin, from what Paul is saying, is that sin is alien to man. I mean alien, yes, to humanity. It came in by man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Glory, glory, glory. Look at verse 14. He also said, nevertheless, this went from Adam to Moses. Even over them who have not sinned, according to the similitude of Adam's transgression. Now, you know, your Bible to tell you who is the sinner. And that is a translation bias. Hallelujah. Translation issue. That word should be which. The word Haman is word that should be which. Which is. Now, the which there, which is referring not to Adam being a figure, but actually the transgression. You understand me? This transgression is talking about. So which is a figure. Now, another word is used there, him again. This is wrong. It's actually not. I told you that in translation, which is actually interpretation. A translator, a word, he has different words to choose from. So it's not a base job. Hallelujah. Have different words to choose from. That's why when you see the word Alos Paracletos, you see some people, you know, from the Bible, you see helper, some you see counselors, and you see comforter. In John 14, 16, I pray the Father give another comforter, another helper, another. Because they have words to choose from. The amplifier just carries faith and just go, stand by, advocate. Remember that to the minister of the Spirit. Hallelujah, advocate. Hallelujah. Just put everything, boom. The translator has choice. Glory to God. Sometimes when you read Amplified Bible and you see the word salvation, you see sometimes in bracket you see words like deliverance. I don't know if I've gotten deliverance from this before. Because the translator has choice. You understand? So it's actually an interpretation. So when you look at it in context, you can say, no, this is not too right. This might not be too correct because what Paul is communicating was a transgression. Hallelujah. So one thing is, which is a figure, not of him, rather of event that was to come, or thing that was to come. Transgression. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So what was this Adam thing? When Moses, I mean, when Paul was writing here, he's writing from Genesis 2 into Genesis 3. Hallelujah. And what was the mark? Adam was he wasn't persuaded concerning the tree of life. I'll talk to this one again. Wasn't persuaded concerning the tree of life. What is the tree of life? God's life. His heaven and earth, God's eternal life. Wasn't persuaded. Hallelujah. So what he did, eating of the other tree, was actually to show unbelief. It is not actually a literal eating of apple. Amen. So he wasn't persuaded. It's actually unbelief. So when I read that into chapter 14, it shows that Adam's sin is unbelief, and that unbelief becomes a pattern, a figure of sin. Hallelujah. Becomes a pattern, a figure of sin. And what leads to it? Was it persuaded? So he's not saying he's not talking about the universality of sin because of Adam, no. Rather, he's saying Adam's unbelief now shows you what it becomes a type of how sin comes in unbelief. Did you see that? How sin comes in unbelief. Hallelujah. So some people say, but David says, since my mother conceived me. David wasn't saying he was born a sinner. No. He was talking about the act that led to his death. His mother was actually a concubine to death. So he said, in that act of sin, I was conceived. You understand? He didn't say he was born a sinner. So when I said that, hallelujah. He was a God. Was a concubine. So in the act of adultery, that's what it means, sin, I was conceived. Glory to God. Glory to God.
So let's see how Paul qualifies the word sin. In verse 12, he calls it sin entered into the world. Sin entered. In verse 14, he calls it Adam's transgression. Verse 15, he calls it what? Adam's offense. Verse 15, he calls it Adam's disobedience. Adam's disobedience. When you look at the word transgression, it's the word parabasis. I'm being fast now. It means parabasis. It implies to break away. Parabasis, to break away. The word offense is the word paractomia or paractoma. P-A-R-A-P-T-O-M-A. To step aside. To step aside or to sidestep. The word disobedience is the word paraco. P-A-R-A-K-O-E. It means a refusal to heed to instruction, not to be persuaded. It's the word unbelief. Disobedience, parakoi. A refusal to heed to instruction, not to be persuaded. Unbelief. So Paul is saying Adam's unbelief. I mean, he's saying Adam's sin is unbelief. A refusal to be persuaded by what God told him. Hallelujah. So that means sin and death is the creation of mind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So if you look at verse 11, verse 13, when it says sin, it says death reigns for, verse 13, it says for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed where there is no law. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. When it says sin was in the world before the law, but sin was given because of man. Just let's leave that out for today's teaching. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So inasmuch as sin is a creation of man, inasmuch as sin is a creation of man, yet from scriptures, the prophet spoke of God's forgiveness. Are you following me? The prophet spoke of God's forgiveness. This is what we've been reading. Psalms 103 verse 1 to 4. Psalms 103, right? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefit, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, and healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, and crown thee with loving kindness and mercy. In verse 3 says, he forgives all thy iniquity. Hallelujah. So David described God's loving kindness and tender mercy. Hallelujah. He describes God's loving kindness and tender mercy that he forgives all our iniquity. Did you see that? Forgives all our iniquity. Hallelujah. When you use the word loving kindness, is the word in the Greek, in the Hebrew, chesed. Chesed. Is the word you find in verse 11 for mercy. Verse 11 for mercy. Is it for as the heaven is high above the earth, it says, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. Is the word mercy. That word is derived from another word, chen or chenan. Chen, C-H-E-N or chenan. Used in verse 8. Hallelujah. Used in verse 8. And he calls it merciful and gracious. Merciful and gracious. So what David is describing is that God's act of forgiveness is God's graciousness. Is God's graciousness. Hallelujah. Showing you that what forgiveness was available in the Old Testament. Forgiveness was available. And no, there was no forgiveness. No, forgiveness was available. If forgiveness wasn't available, Moses would have written it. Hallelujah. But it was available. But how will it be possible? You see that? How will it be possible? Let's look at this and we'll round off. Amen.
Amen. These are thoughts, right? Yes, those are the thoughts. Yes. Amen.
So, some people think when Jesus died, listen, some people think when Jesus died, he went to heaven. He just showed up after, no, during the 3 days, he showed up in heaven, bam, bam, and just carried blood. You know? I've heard that concept several times. If I have preached that concept, those of you who have been years back, 2006, okay, nobody was 2005 times. So around 2005 times, you know, let's talk about your people. I don't know, somebody has been with me, the older 30 years, 2010, right? So you say. Hallelujah. The older of you, we should retire like, at 10 or 9. Okay. I remember, you know, around that time, right? I just teach. I taught that one time that, the city of the whole world has stained heaven. So Jesus just showed up, clean your carry blood. You know, when Mary wanted to hold his hand, he said, don't touch me. Because if Mary touched me, because if you touch me, you have scattered everything. So don't touch me. I've not yet gone to heaven. I'm not going to sanctify the home of heaven. So Jesus just showed up in heaven like he just carried blood, like a painter. Well, I've repented from that talk. I repented a while ago. Amen. Because I saw the truth. I always allow the truth of God's word to overwhelm whatever theology you are carrying. That doesn't mean that is not in the light of the truth. You know, one issue some people have is they try as much as they can. And I value a word a friend of mine told me. He said, smart. This was years back, and his name is Fugu. He told me, smart, years back, that should be 2008 or 2007. Before he went, before he traveled, that was around 2008, before he traveled. He told me, well, he said, smart, what if you wake up and you discover that some of these things you are teaching from the light of God's word are not true? What will you do? And I said, I've changed. And so I told him, I've changed. He said, that is, he made a very profound statement. I'm going to paraphrase because there were some things that he said that I can't say out to anybody. Amen. See, that is the attitude of a man who wants to reach the world for God. They must always learn to allow the scripture to overcloud whatever thing you have as a theology. And that changes things. That changes. Always allow the truth of scripture. That is it. Be ready to let it go. Is it because some people will stick to that even if they know it's wrong, but they stick to it because they are protecting their sin instead of preaching the word. Don't. I say that to you. Don't. Have no sin to protect. Do I have any sin? No. Hallelujah. I don't have anything. I've lost everything for Christ. Everything. Oh, look up. I told somebody, I said, please, my name goes around the whole world. It doesn't change the thing. The only thing it changes is that it changes so that on social media. It doesn't change the thing about my belief, about my theology, about the things that come to know in Christ. Hallelujah. You look up. And it changes your basis. If sin changes your basis, you never had any basis. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's run over. Let's run over. So, I said I used to say that too. Yes, but we have changed. Amen. Well, let's look at it. Is that really true? You have to go to heaven and not carry blood like this. And not get scared. You know? Sabbath. And that's what you blood. How about what you do? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's see the writer of Hebrews as we close. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1.
Hebrews going to go over some things. I was supposed to say something at the beginning of this teaching. There are some things that I'm going that I will run through. And I don't expect you to go and pick it and start talking. I just run through them. Because you have to wait for me to teach it again. How will you do that? Well, what I've done today is more or less like an intro. A continuation from where? Patriarchal and feminism, where is God, right? And we're getting, it's more into pieces of things that I will teach in this year. So don't be in a rush. For all these things I was going to repeat it again, I repeat it better, explain it better. So don't rush. Hallelujah. Amen. Because I say, now go and do a follow-up. Now I say, did you know that sin was not in the world before? Sin was not in the world before the law. So really, I'm talking about sin. Amen. Please don't use your disciples for good news. Hebrews 9 from verse 1. It says, and verily the first covenant, I hope, and I stand in faith to Chelsea, I will beat in Manchester. I mean, yeah, Man City, amen. And verily, verily, the first covenant also have ordinances of divine services, the divine service, and worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called sanctuary. Look at the one. It says the first covenant had ordinances of divine services and a worldly sanctuary. When you use the word first covenant, you have to go back to Hebrews 8. Verse 7 to 9 to see what the first covenant is. Let's go back to this so you understand what the first covenant is. He said, for finally for to them, he says, behold, the day is coming, said the Lord, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. He said, not according to the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant and regarded me and regarded them not, said the Lord. Do you see that? So what does he call the old or the first covenant? He called the first covenant, which is called the old covenant, what they had in the wilderness. Hallelujah. Are you following this? What they had in the wilderness. Or he calls it the wilderness. So the first covenant would be the wilderness, which in Hebrews 3, verse 16 to 17, is called the day of provocation. The day of provocation. In verse chapter 4, verse 1, he said what they had was the gospel, but they rejected the gospel in the wilderness. So chapter 4, verse 1 to verse 5. I just showed you Hebrews 3, 16 to 17, 4, 1 to 5. Hallelujah. Which represents humbly hardness of heart. They have not your heart. In chapter 3, verse 19, it calls it unbelief. It says, so we see that they couldn't enter because of unbelief. So the old covenant or the first covenant will be the wilderness, not Genesis to Malachi. It is specific. The old covenant will be specific. So what happened to them in the wilderness? The wilderness. Hallelujah. Go to God. So when you get back to Hebrews 9 again, from verse 1 to 9, when it says the first covenant also has ordinances of divine services and worldly sanctuary, that means because of the unbelief, Moses gave them some of those, hallelujah, some of those ordinances and sanctuaries so that to communicate them, to help them better understand what he is saying, right? So they had said, for they were tabernacles made, the first wherein was a candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is the holiest of all, which had the golden censer, the ark of the covenant, overlaid about the gold and the golden pot, manna, and Aaron's rod, abundance, and the tables of the covenant, and overhead the cherubims of glory, shadowing the blessed seed, which cannot now speak of particularly. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God, right? Right? For into the second went the high priest once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. Now, when he uses the word, let's read verse 8 first. Since then the Holy Ghost did signify that this was not that the way to the holiness of God was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. So, when the high priest goes into the holiest of God once every year, the Bible says that there was a confirmation by the Holy Ghost that that was not the real thing. It was a shadow. You understand? So, Moses will not say the high priest will enter once every year. To signify, once every year will mean once for eternity. So the yearly is used to show eternity. So also the Son of Man, who is the high priest, Jesus, right, will go enter into the holiest of all. How? Once for eternity. So the once a year will be once for eternity. Are you following me? Glory to God. Once for all time. Glory to God. So Moses will use that once every year to remind them that the high priest will enter once for all. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So look at verse 12. Let's begin to round up. Okay. Have I got you to 12? Okay, let's continue. Verse 9. Which was a figure of the time then present, in which they were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make them who did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. That is, the work was there. Because work was supposed to be in the conscience, right? Which is in the heart. Go to God. Who stood only in meat and drink and diverse washings and carnal ordinances imposed to them until the time of where? The time of where? Is that the last day? The last day? The fulfillment? Uh-huh. But Christ didn't come as the high priest of good things to come, but a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of an ephah sprinkled unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, say how much more shall the blood of Christ? So what is the blood of Christ? What is the blood of Christ? Look at John chapter 6. John 6 quickly. John 6. What is the blood of Christ? Look at verse 12. Is it neither by the blood of goats or by the goats, but by his own blood? He entered into the holy place. By his own blood. What is the blood for? Look at it. John 6. Everybody, let's watch that with us. Verse 53. He said, Jesus said to them, very well, I said to you, except you eat my flesh, eat of my flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drink my blood has eternal life. And I'll raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eats my flesh and drink my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. If you think Jesus was writing literal, if you were there, Jesus now carrying knife and cut himself like this. Nothing. Tabula, I drink blood, drink my blood. Will you drink? But even if it's Jesus Christ, will you drink his blood? Or will not cut his flesh? Will you drink? It means Jesus was writing figuratively. Are you following me? Are you following me? He was saying figuratively. He's using figure. And he's telling you, and what does he now call the flesh and his blood? Look at verse 53. He says, it is the spirit that quickens. Then the flesh profited nothing. Say, the word I speak to you. So what I'm telling you is this. The word I speak to you, they are spirit and are life. So what I'm communicating is about the spirit. So the blood of Jesus is the spirit. So when I get back to the writer of Hebrews, when I get back to Hebrews, chapter 9, this is so. When he said he entered, when he says the 12, Hebrews 4, 12. That's it, Hebrews 9, 12, sorry. Hebrews 9, 12. He says, neither by the blood of goats nor calves, but by his own blood. So his own blood, can we use it rightly? By his spirit, right? He entered where? into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. Did you see that for us? Verse 14. How much more shall the Spirit of Christ, right? Oh, let's put it, let's use it that way, blood. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, pour your conscience from dead work to serve the living God? This time, I'm going to give you this shortly. So it says, the blood of Christ is the Spirit of Christ. It's the Spirit of Christ. So like someone says, I plead the blood of Jesus over myself. That means, you have to do what the blood does. You have to show that effect of the blood in your life. That's what it means. What's the effect of the blood? What is the blood? The blood is the Spirit. Hallelujah. So what is the effect? I say, I cover myself with the blood. You know what it means? Eh? That means you are telling yourself, today I'm going to act spiritual. Here we go. Hallelujah. Yeah, I cover my car with the blood. Are you know? Your blood is the Spirit. Are you following me? Glory to God. Glory to God. So the Spirit of God is what we have. I hope you are following me. So when you read Matthew, I skip that because of time. But when you read Matthew 26, he tells them, this is my blood which is shed. Hallelujah. Which is shed for the remission of sin. Which is shed. That word shed is a word in the Greek, ekto. It implies to bestow, to give. So to share means to give. Hallelujah. Which is share? That share the blood of Jesus around this house. Are you not? Amen. Yeah, you should not be normal. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. I hope you are following me. So the blood of Jesus is his Spirit. So let's go back to Hebrews 9. That's what it says. How much more than the blood of Jesus, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, poured your conscience. So that means when Jesus shed his blood, it's not in a place. I've always thought it. It's not in a place. It's not in the sky. It's not in any planet. No! When he shed his blood, it's in our hearts. They poured your conscience. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. From dead works to serve the living God. So the work of the Spirit is in our heart. So where did Jesus go to? Our heart. So when Jesus said to Mary, he said, touch me not further. Touch me, Lord. I mean, touch me no further. He's not telling Mary, do not touch me because I'm not alone. He said, touch me no further. That is okay. You know what is clinging to you? That bone is okay. No, don't touch me. Because you spoil the work of redemption. That is not what Jesus said. That word in the Greek means, it's okay. Don't touch me for that. You don't do. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, for I have not yet said, I have not yet ascended to my Father and your Father. When he says, I have not yet ascended to my Father, what was he replying? What was he implying? I have not yet ascended to my Father. So where did he go to? He says, our conscience, our heart. So, when he says, I pray that I say to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God, he was talking about the indwelling. Hallelujah. He said, I have not yet ascended. I have not yet taken my place in the believer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So that indwelling. So look at what the writer of Hebrews is teaching. He's teaching that what Jesus did, he did it in the heart of the believer. Glory to God. He did it in the heart of the believer. He didn't go to any planet. He did it in the believer. So Jesus resurrected into us. Hallelujah. So we can be like the first fruit of it. So we will be like him. Hallelujah. God and man. Hallelujah. God and man united. We can say comfortably that the Father and the Son is indwelling. Are you following me? By the Holy Ghost. So I have the Spirit of God in me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So he's teaching us. And he says, he purges our heart. So purges our heart from dead work to serve the living God. Listen to what it means. It shows you that is
that indwelling is actually the menucha, right? Right? That wants to serve. Hallelujah. So that indwelling will cause a service. Will cause us to serve. Are you following that? The indwelling will cause us to what? Serve. It will produce a work. God carries out his task through us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So that indwelling, the writer of Hebrews calls it the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. So as a believer, who have received the forgiveness of sins, when a man gets saved, that point he got saved, he has the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That point he got saved, he had the Holy Ghost. That point he got saved, he received the forgiveness of sins. That same time. That same time. Hallelujah. And that's what I explain. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we are saved for a purpose. We are saved for a purpose. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. To carry on his task in the earth. He has entered into his menucha. He has entered into his dwelling place. Through us. Hallelujah. I mean in us rather. His dwelling place in us. So he carries out his task. He carries out his duty in the earth. Through us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. There from God. Is in me. The Spirit of God is indwelling me. I carry it. It's fast. All other food. The God carries out his task through me and yes to me. Hallelujah. Don't you know that?